We are joined now by Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle to help us wrap up the week. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Aaron.
And before we start with Carborough news, let's get the big Carborough news out of the way. You are running again for mayor this fall.
Right. Probably no shock to anyone. It would have been more shocking, I guess, if I didn't run. But, I've been mayor now for a year and a half and feeling like I'm kind of in the groove, getting in the groove of things, and started a lot of initiatives and projects and really getting involved in a lot of different community issues that I want to see through for at least another term. And so I figured I would let folks know what they probably already assumed, that I am going to run again, and I'm looking forward to it.
And it's going to be a very exciting election season, and you mentioned some projects that are underway. One of the big ones just passed at the Board of Aldermen meeting just a couple of days ago, South Green.
Yeah, the South Green project is one that's been in the hopper for a while. In fact, some time ago, the prospective developer came to us and talked about the zoning that was in existence for this site. It's the old Rogers Tryon property at the foot of South Greensboro Street. And it was previously zoned M1, like manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And so we actually, through some conversation, created a new zone called M3CU, conditional use. It's like a different division of manufacturing with the conditional use permit. And what it did was it would allow a developer who chose to develop on such a land the ability to expand the conditions that are already available there in agreement with different performance measures, and they were related to different values that we identified, environmental and economic and so forth. And so that's how they decided to proceed with their site plan and their request. It went through our boards, our advisory boards, a few times, and then came to us several weeks ago. And after five public hearings, we voted.
That's par for the course, right?
Well, it's a little more than it usually is. But one thing I'll say, beginning with about the third, really the first one was pretty much information exchange, as was the second. But the third and fourth one, I made certain to do this, as did other members of the board, to really thank the developers and the community members for their very thoughtful input and approach to the concerns that were raised by everyone. And I think that the developers did a fabulous job of responding to every concern that the people who live nearby had, and even some that didn't ultimately maybe agree, get exactly what they wanted from the developer. They to a person said, we couldn't ask for someone to work with us any more than these developers did. So I greatly appreciate that, as well as the neighbors. They had their concerns brought to us sometimes people get really emotional about their concerns, but they really had well documented concerns that they brought to us, and so we were able to work through those again along with the developer to come up with, I think, what's going to be a really good project for the town. Certainly a great improvement over what's there now.
So what's it going to look like when it's done? Now, what's the time frame for finishing it?
Yeah, I think the community will see some changes very soon, because I know one thing the developer said upon approval was that there's going to have to be some shifting around of dirt in the area. So anyone who's familiar with it, you kind of know it's like this deep hole that actually gets flooded quite a bit. So there's going to be a lot of shifting around of dirt, and that'll all need to be moved around and settled. The old storage sheds that are down there and the old buildings that are down there have to be torn down. And one of the items that we specifically talked about was a robust construction management program, because we want to make sure the impact on neighbors as well as the streets is as minimal as possible, with notice and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, once that all happens, then I think it'll sit for a while, and then they'll start like kind of coming in with the actual site plan. And it's going to have, Aaron, it's predominantly this M3CU district is going to include, up to 40% of it. It was, first of all, it's going to be entirely commercial. Mm-hmm. And up to 40% of it is going to be restaurant use. And then beyond that might be light manufacturing, office space, or additional restaurant use. And the board granted the developer the right to do this in response to them, again, meeting these performance measures. And let me just share a few of them. that are going to be taken care of on this property. Stormwater management and water conservation is one of the categories. There are going to be substantial stormwater retrofits on this in this area, and you know, there's a lot of water that kind of comes down the hill and settles in this land, and they're going to be putting in retrofits in a way to carry this water across the street with a new pipe and take it away so that we don't have as much flooding on this site as we've had in the past. Mm-hmm. The nitrogen loading is going to be reduced by at least 8% as determined by the Jordan Lake accounting tool rules. There's also going to be this interesting, and there's some debate in the community among some community members about whether this is going to be good or not. But there's going to be a roundabout there. There's going to be a roundabout for entry into this
and
new
is that
project.
Be on Greensboro Street?
On Greensboro Street, yeah. Yeah, so we had a lot of discussion with the landowners who live right across the street and how much it would impede on their property, if at all, and trying to mitigate sound and light and so forth from their front yard. But after meeting with NCDOT and doing traffic counts and analysis and so forth, a roundabout in this area was the recommendation of DOT. And so that'll be a really interesting, because this is kind of one of our entryways into Carrboro.
Yeah.
You know,
and this is a busy road.
Yeah, and yeah. Right now you see like burned up, you know, trashy, flooded buildings. So it'll be a really significantly improved piece of property. There's been a lot of thought given into it to try to mitigate effects on the neighbors up the hill. It's going to be a great spot for people to bike to, walk to, ride to. There's a bus stop right up the road. And I think as we've seen with other roundabouts, I think it'll help traffic flow in that area. I mean, there's a stoplight not far away, but that's not necessarily unusual when you deal with having roundabouts in different areas. So I'm pretty excited to see what this development will bring.
It's going to kind of expand downtown a little bit too, right? Just sort of grow it out just like a block or two.
It will. It really will. And you know, it's not very far from there up the street to, for example, Open Eye if you go up North Greensboro, but it's a precarious walk.
Yeah,
and
right
but
now
we,
it is, yeah.
It is right now. And so the neighbors have lobbied the board, and the board has listened and in turn has been trying to work with our MPO other MPO folks to include a sidewalk extension from that area so that if someone wants to walk on Greensboro Street, they could walk from down there up there safely. And then, of course, the bike path, and there's a bike path and a walking path through the back of it that will go right into Roverson Square where you can, you know, kind of walk up through there to town.
Okay. So will there be a sidewalk on Greensboro? That was the first thing that I thought of because I've seen that. Yeah.
It's in the MPO plan, and Damon Siles is the expert on this because he's our MPO rep, but I know it's in there sometime for the next couple of years because it's, you know, clearly one where there's a path there where people walk all the time right now, and it's you know, it's a, as you noted, a well trafficked and well used road. So
that's going up, we'll start to see probably movement on that this year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Certainly that, as he said, certainly as Runyon Woods said to us, certainly the moving around of a lot of that dirt and the rearrangement and the tearing down of the buildings, mm-hmm. which as I understand is probably a good thing to happen sooner than later.
Time frame on when it's all going to be done? Is that a couple years down the road or a year or two?
He did not say, but my sense is that they were going to start on it within the year. And so I would, and I know some of the efforts at mitigating noise and light and all those kind of things and sound, you know, like in music and so forth, went to, depending on who he gets to kind of be in the place. So to the extent that there's not a lot of people lined up necessarily to go there, but I know that they're antsy to go get started with it.
Awesome.
So, and that pipe has to get in too.
Mm-hmm. So, speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and again, that approval was the big news that came out of the Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting this week, this past Tuesday. A lot of items on the agenda for the next couple of weeks. I know budget stuff still needs to be finalized and worked out. Or actually, you passed the budget already, didn't you?
Not yet. But we
Chapel Hill and Orange County did this week, and then Carver is still yet to go.
Yeah, I was talking to the town manager today, and it's almost like, well, it is kind of like going on vacation. You know, you're trying to get everything done before summertime, and everyone suddenly wants
clean
to get
the
on
house,
the agenda.
Do the dishes, pack, and get out.
Right. So we're cleaning the dishes and doing the housekeeping, and the next two Tuesdays are going to be really, really busy for us. But after that, we'll be able to take a little summer break, and that'll be nice.
What are some of the items on the agenda?
The one I know for sure is the budget, mm-hmm. And I know that there are a few others that are percolating their way back to us. One at least, I think, I'm not quite sure, actually, because they were still sifting through them and the packet was being delivered this afternoon. So I hesitate to say because sometimes staff will move something for the next week or whatever. Just trust me, I'm sure it's going to be a packed agenda each Tuesday night. So
I'll keep our eyes on that. And then the other question I think a lot of people have about what Carrboro or what the town of Carrboro, what the Board of Aldermen is going to do with regards to SB2. Of course, the State House joining the State Senate yesterday and overriding Governor McCrory's veto on the magistrate recusal bill. Carrboro, along with Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, and Orange County boards passing resolutions even before the veto override came through, saying we're opposed to this bill. If the veto is overridden, which in fact it was yesterday, we plan to take action. So what are the next steps there?
Yeah, you know, one thing is, and I was thinking through this yesterday as yet another day got hijacked, you know, when you wake up and get bad news or you're out and about and you get a phone call. I'm really a little surprised that not only the bill was brought and passed and even this veto override, that this all has happened here kind of in early to mid-June. I think it speaks to what the other side thinks is going to happen with the United States Supreme Court soon, right?
Yeah.
Because if the United States Supreme Court were to rule that, you know, states could define marriage, well, then this is really a moot point. So one thing that I find a little irritating is, you know, why didn't they just wait until after that? Okay. And I guess likewise, we all should be strategizing about how best that bill can be attacked. But, you know, if the United States Supreme Court says states can define marriage, then this bill is really the least of our worries, you know.
Yeah, the chaos is the start.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the utter chaos is the start.
Yeah.
But in any event, I know myself, I was, as I have been all along, I've been trying to think through how you would go about having a case be able to start, i.e. withstanding, and then various kind of legal theories. And I've been digging a little bit into all of that. I know that there are parties out there that are more informed than me, and that this is their, like, you know, real job, full-time job to kind of go after these kind of bills. And I'm hoping that I can participate in whatever way I can and in helping to think through how best to attack it, because it's and I hesitate. I will say this, you know, people are like, it's unconstitutional. You know, well, we all really feel like it is, but when it comes down to really articulating very concise reasons why it would be, we have to really be thoughtful and kind of recognize that just like same-sex marriage should have been available to everyone, you know, it's something that has to be really well thought out and brought in the right manner so that we don't create additional problems.
And there is that provision in there that you accuse yourself. If you accuse yourself from any, you accuse yourself from all, which I assume is designed to sort of fit within the Equal Protection Clause, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Although, you know, it certainly seems like a reactionary measure. It certainly seems like a lot of the laws we saw passed in the wake of civil rights laws in the 1960s that purported to be to not be reactionary. And, you know, and even when you bring religious freedom into government positions, which is permitted, there still is a point beyond which you don't go, you know, with is it a substantial burden or not on the government to accommodate? And so that might be one line of thinking that scholars are going toward. There are others as well. So I think everything is kind of, you know, beyond just the magistrate having taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And it's hard to do that when you recuse yourself.
And that's also a really good point because, I mean, you mentioned that phrase substantial burden, which is a technical legal term with a definition that changes from year to year, it seems.
Yeah, and it does. In recent years, the courts have, you know, law evolves, and, you know, this aspect of religious freedom, I think, is one that we'll see continue to evolve, particularly with regard to these type of issues.
And of course, we'll keep our eye on that as well. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.